is quite a bit that I have written down and taken notes on. I don't know if I'll get to it all, but I think I'll get to everything that God wants me to get to, and whatever time that may take. I know we've been covering the series, and all the pastors have been covering the flow of the authority. That's been a powerful series, I believe, for all of us. Every little bit that I've been able to grasp and absorb, and what I've been able to pull from the internet or from the app, since I can't be here as regular as I would love to. But I'm still connected. Amen. Connected through the word and connected in fellowship and purpose and in vision. Amen. It's just in a different city with a different people, but the same God. Amen. And if, brother, if you would put that, just that, I know that image that we've been using where it shows the level of flow. I just want to kind of get a visual here for a minute. And I know you got this church has, you're probably up to your eyeballs in it, okay? But we need to be. We need to be under it. We need to be absorbing it. We need to be walking in it. Because as I looked and studied this and received as I was here in the last month or so, you know, we look at it in just an overflow, and we look at it in just sections of it, you know. And Pastor did a great job along with the pastors of breaking down each step from kingdom vision and then down through what God has established through the apostolic office, the office of the apostle, the church, which is all of us. And it includes the apostle. The apostle is never separated from the body. Amen? It's just an office God has given for the purpose of governing, but they are still part of the church. I always share with Deltona, we must be believers, but then we need to move on and be a disciple. But not every believer is a disciple, but every disciple is a believer. It's just the progression of growth and the progression of maturity, but also the progression or the reality of sacrifice. Because one of the highlights that Christ highlighted to the believers and the disciples, it's if you want to be my disciple, you must what? Deny yourself and take up your cross and follow me. So now we see the kingdom, the apostle role, the church, the ministry, the family, and all the way down to the personal level. If you would say that personal is me, right? Each individual at the personal level, but we are all linked together. We're connected as the authority flows down, and we maintain our position where God wants us. Because even the apostle is under someone in authority. Amen? Paul said it very clearly. He says, be imitators of me, or followers of me, as I imitate Christ, right? Or as I follow Christ, follow me, depending on the version that we choose to read. But we're never separated from God's plan, God's process. The moment we're separated, we become our own entity, our own thing. And, you know, I've heard so many times that so-and-so is anointed, and and I'm anointed or you're anointed, and all that is true. But so was King David anointed. And we'll talk a little bit tonight about the levels of anointing. King David was anointed three times. First by Samuel, then by the people of Judah, and then by all of Israel. So he was anointed by God, separated by God, confirmed by the prophet. Amen? Because God will use man to confirm his work. Amen? Now understand that the same guy that, or prophet, Samuel, that anoints David also anointed Saul. Remember Saul? He disobeyed God, didn't he? And all of a sudden now God says, okay, I'm done. I've already chosen a man. We know that from the moment that David was anointed, the very first time, it took 7 years before he reigned as king. This is very important because that 7 years is a 7 years of perfection, of process. And if you study what happened to David the moment he was anointed, here's a young lad, a young man, anointed before all of his older siblings, men of stature, muscle bound, soldiers. And they go and pick the guy that smells like sheep because he was busy working. And I'm giving you a little context just because there's so much. And I really want to hit on what dovetails to this. With the authority and the flow of the authority that comes from God, amen? Through God's process, through God's government, also comes what we call anointing. Amen? And authority is awesome. Power is awesome. But the Bible says that the only thing that destroys the yoke is the anointing. In order for us to operate in a place where we affect the yoke of those that we are ministering to, we're going to need power, authority, but we're also going to need the flow of an anointing. Not an anointing of just believing. Not the initial anointing when God separated you. But the anointing that was accumulated in the process. When you were tried. When you were proven. When you were trained. When you were prepared for the ministry. This is why it's so important to understand where we are in God's process. Down all the way to the personal level. Now I just want to, just for title's sake, I like to title it, I am anointed, not with a purpose. Because sometimes we say with and I make it mine and it doesn't go anywhere. We are anointed for a purpose. Say it to your neighbor, I'm anointed for a purpose. Because you are. But just as authority flows and power flows, anointing flows. And it never flows from the least point of resistance toward the highest point. It always flows from the top down. Meaning God has a process. Amen? We can go back to Bible times when Aaron was to be anointed, when the Levites were to be anointed. It was always from the top down, from the head to the beard. And we all know, we can go into all the terminology and the definitions of the Hebrew text versus the Greek text. And I really don't have a whole lot of time for all that tonight. While I wrote it down, I probably won't touch on it. It's very important that we understand that the anointing is necessary in our lives. Amen? Let me tell you something else. The pastors, the apostles, the prophets don't have a monopoly on the anointing. Amen? Because it comes and it flows from God downward. The only difference is that each one of them, whether it's the office of the prophet, the office of the apostle, the office of the evangelist, the pastor and the teacher, they must stay in line of where it flows from. So they should always have someone above them. Amen? So if there's somebody running around in your neighborhood and he or she has no covering, there's no mantle above them, we are not following them. Amen? Because in order for us to have the anointing, we need to be downline. That doesn't make us less. That doesn't make the ones above us greater. All it says is that they've sacrificed more. They've given up more. They're willing to climb the mountaintop. Amen? They're willing to climb and say, okay, in order for me to climb, I need to shed off some stuff. And, you know, shedding off conveniences is not fun, right? I have certain convenience. I love certain foods. And every time I got to give them up, it's like, oof, it's rough. I don't like it. That's why when it's fasting time, it's like, I gotta give that up. But you have to shed certain things in order to get closer to where God wants us to be. So for the sake of time, I'm gonna hit some scriptures quickly. If we go to Exodus. Chapter 30, verse 25. I'm going to hit real quick on the anointing from content to application and then move forward. And I'm going to do it quickly. It says, in Jesus' name, we'll give lecture to the word. It says, Exodus 30, 25, and thou shalt make it an oil of what? Of holy, separate it, consecrate it, ointment, an ointment compound after the art of who? It's the person that put it together, right? The apothecary. I want you to know that who is the apothecary for us is Christ Jesus. Okay? Because the anointing that we flow in came through him for the church. And we're going to hit that. Okay? There's Old Testament flow of anointing. But now, at some point, I'm going to get to where we, the church. But I want to lay the foundation. So it's after the art of the apothecary. There was an art. There was a work of it. Obviously, there's spices and different ingredients. It shall be a what? A holy anointing oil. So here we see holy oil anointing oil. Several times within the same verse. We need to understand that in the Old Testament, not only were people anointed, but also furnishings. When we go back to the tabernacle, God gives direction. And he says, anoint this, anoint that, anoint the table of showbread, anoint everything that was going to be part of the tabernacle. Why? Because it had to be consecrated unto God. It was God's ordained, or God ordained it, and man carried it out. All that is obedience. Man didn't put nothing special into it other than obeying God. And through obeying God, God's purpose is fulfilled. So it's important we get this as we move forward. Now, not only did they anoint furnishings and our the shepherds, your common shepherds with actual herds of sheep, they anointed their sheep. They took oil and anointed the head of the sheep. They would anoint the wool of the sheep. They would anoint him for the purpose to protect them from lice and insects and animals that would fly into their ear canals, and they would burrow in and lay larvae and cause infections to the point that would cause them death. So they would utilize this process to anoint. See, David knew about the process of anointing. He knew that it preserved the sheep. He was a shepherd. He would anoint the head, the ear. I want you to know that when pastors teaching us, when a teacher is teaching someone in a Bible, they're actually anointing the head of that individual. They're anointing the ears. When the ears need to be anointed spiritually so that we can hear the word of God. That our hearing is prepared through the word. Because what? Faith comes through what? Hearing. And if our hearing is not anointed through the word of God, we're going to have issues. We really are. This is why some people intellectually can receive it, but spiritually they can't. Because they're not allowing themselves to be anointed. That their ears be anointed so that they are ready and receptive to receive the word of God. That's why many receive any word. And they'll say, wow, that guy jumped and we even saw miracles. He's anointing. Listen, the miracle does not determine that the person was anointed. The miracle was an act of God because there was faith in the house. And God wants to turn man's hearts to him. So how does God usually turn man's hearts? When he does something for them. They believed in God. God performed a miracle. But that does not mean that the individual was anointed. Because Pharaoh wasn't anointed, was he? And he mimicked miracles. So we need to understand this as we move forward into this year to the next step in where God is taking us as a church, as a body, as a local church, into them neighborhoods deep in the territory of the enemy. My good singing on key ain't gonna cut it. And if it was me, I'd really be in trouble. Because I can't even find keys. Okay? But what we're going to need is the anointing. What we're going to need is a double portion of the anointing. What we're going to need is to maintain our position where God has placed us. Even though we're anointed, we still need to be proven. We need to be molded. We need to be shaped in His likeness. For His purpose, because we're anointed for a purpose. And it's not for that, because now I have a following, I'm going to go get me a big giant bus and put my name on it and call myself something. You follow me? It's to bring Him glory. It's to help the lost. It's to bring them out of darkness and into His marvelous light. So it's important that we grasp what God wants to give us in this whole package of the flow of authority. With that authority, there's an anointing. But that anointing starts at the top. And as it flows down, how God has designed it, by the time it gets to where it needs to be, it is I believe it is a multiplied anointing. Because of the level of sacrifices of everyone that's above us. There's an anointing that flows down to every one of us, to the youngest man, young man here and the youngest lady. Don't think that your age is what determines it. God bypassed men of battle and found a little shepherd that knew everything about being prepared, that knew how to fight battles. And we know his story. But as soon as he was anointed by Samuel, it didn't stop there. The battles increased. He goes on an errand to take food, bread to his brothers, and cheese to the captains. He didn't go over there looking for a fight. He went in obedience because his father called them. He says, hey, go see what's up with your brothers. Go see how they are and bring back something from them. Let me know that they're okay. Obviously, he gets there. We see the story. He comes with his oxen and it's loaded. And he's got his help with him. He sees what's going on. The first one he goes over is to his big brother, his elder brother. His elder brother just says, what are you doing here? We know the story. And I'm paraphrasing. But he realizes what's going on. Now we see that he says, I got to do something about this. He goes before King Saul, or King Saul hears what's going on. He had access to the king's palace or king's presence. Now he's trying out stuff he's never tried before. A young kid with the armament of men of battle. He says, I don't know how to deal with this. But I remember. See, he had a testimony. Somewhere in the back 40, he says, I remember when a lion rose up or a bear rose up. And if you look at the story and you look at the words and the phrases, it says that when one would take the sheep, he says, I would chase it down. I would hunt it down and retrieve it from him. And if he rose up, I would kill him. So this wasn't like, if it was me, I'd say, whoop, there goes one. There goes one. Hey, we need to produce some sheep over here. There goes two. A lion or a bear? The Bible says this young man went after it. He went after it. The anointed people of God will go after it. They don't wait for the enemy to bring the battle to them. We go after it. Amen? We see what's happening in the horizon and we go after it. Why? Because first of all, it's not our battle. It's not about what we have and don't have. It's what he has promised. It's because I found my place downstream of the anointing, downstream of the authority, downstream of what God has established. And it doesn't matter if your education has a PH next to it or a zero like mine next to it. It doesn't matter. At work, some of them guys say, some are heroes and some are zeros. I tell them, I'll be the zero. You guys can be the heroes. But you know what? It's not about who you are. It's about what God has said and has done. And it's about where you are in Christ. It's where we are in the downstream of the line of authority. Because with that authority comes an anointing. And that's what this world needs. Doesn't need more religion. Obviously, it doesn't need more government. It needs anointing. It needs a church. It needs a member. It needs a young man. It needs an older person. It needs a middle age. It needs a female. It needs a male. Hallelujah. To just say, you know what? I am anointed for a purpose. And if I am downstream in the line of the flow of the Spirit of God and the authority of God, I am ready for the battle. David said that. The story says that David went before Saul and he's trying all this stuff out. He's like, man, I can't do this. All I remember is that back there, All I had was either my hands. And we know the story. The guy comes out and he's yelling, big mouth. Here's what gets me. David never looked at him and said, wow, what a giant. He never looked at him and said, oof, I don't know. He's a little bigger than that bear. 9'6". He's a little bigger than that lion. And he's got everything he has to protect him. He didn't say that. He was talking to the king. Now, mind you, the king's anointing, the anointing of the king had been removed because of disobedience. Because he stood outside from the downflow, from the downstream of authority. And when authority is taken away and power is taken away, authority is taken away and power is taken away. Hear me, church. There is no anointing. Because it comes wrapped up in power and authority. And it always comes from the top. It always comes from the top. So now we see this man saying, I can't handle this. I'm going to go with what I know. So he starts talking to Saul. And Saul, he says, hey, look, this uncircumcised, what he was saying is this man has no covenant. Is what he was saying. He never said this giant, this man of war, this. He always referred to him as this uncircumcised man or individual. And he started proclaiming victory. He started saying and going back to that testimony. How many here have a testimony that you can go back to and know, hey, I remember when something was happening to me. I know Brother Daryl does. I remember when I was in that valley confronting that. But I know that my God was there then because I was downstream from the authority. I was downstream from the flow of the power of God. So we remember, he says, just as God did, or I did through God, or God did with the bear and with the lion, I shall also do, it shall be likewise with this uncircumcised. We know the story. When the moment came, the Bible says he didn't go up there and, you know, put a line. He goes, cross that and then go back and cross another one. No, the Bible says that he ran toward him. A young teenager running toward. Tell me there wasn't an anointing flowing in his life. But see, he knew who his God was. He knew who his Jehovah Jireh. He knew who his God was. Church, we know who our God is. We know his name. We know that he has not forsaken us. We know that we live in 2019 and there's much against us. But our God today is as powerful as he was back then. He changes not. There is no moving in him. We need to get a hold of this. We just need to stay downflow, downstream. No matter what comes, no matter what voices, when you start hearing voices that are contrary to what God has put in your life, you better get into somebody's hands that are anointed and tell them, you need to anoint my head with oil. You need to anoint my ears so that I don't hear these false prophets, that all I hear is the clear word of God, so that the anointing of God will not be restricted and will not be affected. It will continue to flow in your life. The beautiful thing about this is that when we start talking about David, that's awesome. We know the story. But when we start talking about Elisha and Elijah, that really caught my attention. This is a young man that was following his mentor. He followed him everywhere. He was downstream from him. He followed him. He saw him perform miracles. At the last day, after God had already been calling the young man, Elisha, he already knew he had a calling. But he had to stay close to the prophet of God. Wherever he went, he had to go. He saw him perform miracles. But he also saw him run for his life. When that lady said, "I'm going to cut your head off." He saw all this. But at the end, nearing the end of his life, he's still right there with him because he knew who was above him. He knew where the anointing was going to flow from. He knew that he had a covering over his life. He saw Elijah take that mantle off on many occasions. That mantle represented the covering. The covering didn't have the power. The covering didn't have the anointing. But the covering was up over the person that had the anointing. And this is important because I believe we're anointed and we receive a level of anointing when we believe and we're baptized in Jesus' name and we receive the gift of the Holy Ghost and there's a beginning in us and God's starting to guide us through His Spirit. I believe there's an anointing that comes into our lives. Every one of us. There's an anointing that comes. But then I believe that there's another level that we must go after. Not out of ambition, but out of giving up in order to get that second level and that third level. And that only comes through submission. That's why the Bible says, "He that humbles himself, God what? Exalts him. Elevates him." That elevation has to do with anointing. Not position. Not title. But a demonstration, a manifestation of God's power that flows without limitations, without being affected. And you know, I am the one that many times caused that God not flow the way He freely wants to flow through me. There's something that smacked me right between the eyes. And it happens a lot, especially when you're listening to like Bishop Wright or Bishop Rick Gonzalez. And they just say something and they look at you like, "Well, you're supposed to know this." And I'm like, "No, my brain, I'm looking for it." Because there's an anointing, there's something that comes. But when you talk to these men and you just listen to them and you see what they've been through, you see what they've given up, you see what where God has walked them through, you're like, "Oof, am I willing to, do I want that anointing? Do I want that level? Or am I just okay just sitting down here? I'll take whatever falls off the table, please." And that's okay, but that'll only leave you at a certain level. We need to seek the greater things in God, not through ambition, but through submission. With the right spirit, the right attitude. So it's important that we grasp this principle wrapped up in all of these lessons that pastor and the pastoral staff have been presenting. In 2 Kings chapter 2 verse 8, this is important because we know that the story, we always go to the end and see how the mantle fell. And now Elijah has the mantle. But it wasn't about the mantle. Everybody focuses on the thing that it's obvious. And we miss the most subtle thing that can't be seen until it manifests itself. We know that way before that, they come to the river's edge. And the Bible says that the sons of the prophets were speaking. You know, there's always prophets out there talking. We need to only listen to what God wants us to listen to. Because just as there was prophets then, that some were of God and many of them weren't, they exist today. We need to listen to the prophets that God has placed in our lives. So it's important that we understand that when they get to the moment of transition, the moment to cross over into a double portion. See, for Elijah, it was time to leave. For Elisha, it was time to transition into a double portion. It wasn't the prophet that placed it and said, I'm going to give you a double portion. He says, ask me what you want. God is asking us today, what do you want? Are you willing to follow me? Are you willing to be submitted? Are you willing for just not to focus on the cloak or on the mantle, but what's behind it, what I've promised? That's what God's asking us today. He dealt with me with this 4 days ago. At 3 a.m, I felt this impression in my spirit. And all I can feel is, are you satisfied where you're at? And I tell you, my flesh is, but my spirit isn't. So I had to get up and cry before the presence of the Lord and say, no, God, I'm not satisfied. My flesh is lazy, but I submit it unto you. I need to walk into that next step. And then he gave me clear direction on what I must do next. Now I have to obey. And that is the hard part. But it's the most necessary. Because God will leave us wherever we want. He's not going to force us. The prophet didn't force a double portion. He says, what do you want? Ask me what you want. He says, did I receive a double portion? The beauty about this is that in verse 8, and I know you were already there, he says, and Elijah took his mantle and wrapped it together and smote the waters. Remember, the mantle represents covering. And smote the waters, and they were divided hither and thither, and so that they too went over on dry ground. We've seen this before, haven't we? And it came to pass that when they were gone over, that Elijah said unto Elisha, ask what I shall do for thee before I be taken away from thee. And Elisha said, I pray thee, let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me. Verse 10, here's where the rubber meets the road. Because you know what? Elisha could have said, okay, man, we're at the river's edge. I know you're gone. I know that there's still kings and people that want to kill us because prophets are not favored. Really, they weren't. He could have said, I'm gone. I'll see you. But on many occasions, we already know that Elijah told him, you need to stay here. I need to go to Bethel. You need to stay here. I need to go on further. And he was giving him an out. God will give us an out. Okay? But when we love God, when we know that we were not just called out of darkness into light, that he didn't call us out of something, but he called us unto something for a purpose, we just follow. And we know it's not going to be easy. We know it's going to be difficult at times. Elisha already knew this. He saw it. He saw his own mentor hide in a cave. But now, he's at a point of transition. I believe we're at a point of transition as a church. And when I talk about the church, I, like I said, you know, we don't have a monopoly. We don't have the corner on this. The same vision that God has given the local pastor here, Pastor Wells, as the pastoral staff, and as myself, a pastor in Deltona, and other pastors in this movement, and I am willing to say, out of this movement, God is shaking up. God is calling men and women, pastors and not pastors and believers, to say, you know what? Let's cross over. Let me take you onto a double anointing. Let me take you into a double portion. But you got to leave this behind. And one of the things we need to leave behind is tradition. Tradition. You've heard, Pastor, of that we can only minister on a certain day. No. We are the church. Whether we're ministering here as a group or we're ministering as individuals, that anointing needs to flow continuously. Because when it becomes stagnant, God is going to remove it. So therefore, it needs to flow. So now we see, and he said in verse 10, thou hast asked a hard thing. He didn't say impossible, right? Because see, Elijah knew what you're asking for, it's going to cost you. Just as the woman said, I want one of my sons to your left and I want one of my sons to the right. Once you're in the kingdom, she's like, you just can't. You don't understand. Now we see Elijah telling him, you've asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, that nevertheless is up to you. He says, if thou see me when I am taken from thee, not that you see me from far above, basically, if you're under me, if you're in the presence of when I'm taken up, if you're in the line of the downflow, when that transition takes place, when God takes me up, if you're in that downflow of where it's going to fall, then it will be done. It's going to happen. It's happening right now, church. It's happening in our lives because we know our place in God. It's not about how much we know or how much preparation or the lack thereof. It's our position in God. We found it and we know that's where we must stay until God perfects his work in us. And sometimes that takes a while. That's why it took 7 years to transform a shepherd to a king. From a mindset of a shepherd and a worshiper to a man of a kingdom after God's own heart. Yeah, Pastor, but he failed God. Yes, he did, and so will we. But what we need to understand is he knew where to return. He knew where to go back. He knew where his position was. That's why the Bible says that after he sinned before God, he didn't become arrogant and run from God. He went into fasting. He clothed himself with sackcloth and in ashes and mourned. But once he felt that flow again, once he felt that anointing again, the Bible says he rose up. And he removed the garments of mourning. He removed them garments of pity. And then he took his rightly place again. Maybe not as the main king or not as the, but he took a place of worship and humbleness before God. So it's important we get this. And I'm hurrying because I know time is fast and I have a lot. So it's important that we understand that he says, it shall be so. It says, it shall be so unto thee. But if not, it shall not be so. Meaning if you're downstream, it's going to happen. If you're not, I'm sorry, it's just not. It either is or it isn't with God. I'm either in it or I'm out. There is no halfway with God. There is no God, I'm gonna do this on Sunday and I'm gonna do this completely opposite on Monday. No. God wants me either in or out. I'm either downflow all the time or I'm not. That's not all that revelatory, is it? It's practical. So it's important that we understand with kings. Now as we move into what the church, what does this have to do with me? Tell your neighbor everything. Because the anointing flows from the top down. And you know, at the personal level, as Pastor spoke of this last Sunday, I believe, at that personal level, you affect everyone in your household. This is why when something rises up in your home and you're downstream from authority and flow of anointing, this is why you can walk up into your house and something wants to come in that doesn't belong and the devil just rears his snout. You can smack it down with the anointing. You can bring it down. Young people, so can you. Sometimes the enemy wants to kind of squirm his way in through our young people, not because they're doing anything wrong, but because they don't have that sense of awareness yet. They're working on it. But when they do, they can sense things that the adults can't because we're too preoccupied. So you can be that armor bearer in your home. You could be that young man in your home that mom and dad may have missed it because of something. And all of a sudden you see something because there's an anointing flowing through you as well. This is why when it says children obey your parents, you're downstream. I'm going to tell you, there was a lot of times at that age, I didn't agree with my parents. Was I the only one? I didn't agree. But I learned the principle that I needed to obey them. And I believe that helped me in some of my hardest times in life. But it's important that we get this from the elders all the way down to the younger. Look what 1 John chapter 2 and verse 20 says. As it comes down to the church, it comes down to a church that's maturing. It says, 1 John 2 and 20, but ye have an unction from who? And ye know what? All things. You've been taught, you've been instructed, you know them. It doesn't mean you practice them. It means you know them. It means I know them. The word here is charisma in the Greek. So it's important that we understand this is the application of an unguent or smearing, a special endowment of the Holy Spirit, anointing and unction. When the Spirit of God comes into our lives, it smears us. It rubs itself into our soul, into our life. Now, I still have to submit my flesh to it. But it's there. It comes and it's rubbed in. Now, here's where it's where the downflow and the process. There's many times that we have an experience and it's awesome and we can move mountains. Our faith can move mountains until we're confronted with something or a temptation or a situation or whatever it is that now everything else that the spiritual senses are not the ones that are the most active, but it's our fleshful senses. It's like, oh, well, how do I get through this? And then our faith begins to be affected. This is why the process of discipleship is so important. This is why the process of being under for a time after I believe. This is why levels 1, 2, 3, 4. And if there's a 10, it's necessary. If there's a 50, it's necessary. If there's 100, it's necessary. Why? Because that is the process. King David stayed in a process. He fought Goliath and then fought many other battles. It was all part of the process. God was making him, converting him from a shepherd boy to a king that he can rely on. A king that would obey him, because the previous king would not obey God. So anything smeared on, usually prepared by the Hebrews from oil and aromatic herbs, anointing was the inaugural ceremony for priests. We know it. But see, for us, it's not a ceremony. For the New Covenant Church, it's a necessity. The Bible says, for you are a royal what? Do you think we need to be anointed by God and confirmed by man? Absolutely. And I've heard pastors say it many times. If there is no man or woman above us, somebody in authority, there's a problem. Something's going to happen, and it's not going to turn out good. Acts 10 and 38, it says, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were what? Of the devil? For God was what? With him. Not that he was right next to him. That with is not next. With being part of. So it's important we understand the anointing. God was anointed. He was anointed to bring liberty, right? Liberty. Don't you think we're anointed to bring the same? He said we would do greater works, didn't he? Because his anointing now, his sufferings, that anointing that would be transferred to every one of us, through the infilling of the Holy Ghost and us being prepared, would prepare us for greater works. 1 John 2 and 27. But the anointing which ye have received of him abideth where? In you. Say, it's in me. And ye need not that any man teach you. Does that mean you don't need to be discipled? Does that mean you don't need instruction? No. This is talking about a level of maturity now that what you've learned, you and I need to pass it on. See, there's a point where while I'm still a disciple, I should also be making disciples. While I'm being formed, I should be helping others to be formed also. That's what Elijah was doing with Elisha. So it's important we understand what pastor's doing with all of us. And I say all of us. Yes, but you're a pastor. Yes, but I'm below him in authority. But he's younger. It doesn't matter. I place myself below his authority, below the flow that comes through him. We're friends. We've worked in the ministry, but I'm below him in flow of authority. But how is that, Pastor? You're a pastor of an autonomous church. It doesn't matter. The day we believe that no one can be above us is the day that we lose the anointing. It's the day that it quits to flow downhill. And the reason I stay above, below him in authority is because he's below others in authority. Now, I have a bishop in my life that speaks also, which is Bishop Rick Gonzalez. But both him and Wright, they're like joined at the hip spiritually. That's just how God works. Because if I want anointing, I better be submitted. If I want authority to flow, I better be below somebody. It doesn't matter how old they are. It doesn't matter how much schooling they have or the lack thereof. It doesn't matter. As long as they are under God's authority and it's flowing through them, that's what I want. Because you know what? That's what my kids need. And then my kids will fall under my authority. And then their kids under theirs. This is why there's so many homes today that are in shambles. Because the father won't love the mother. The mother won't submit to the father. So therefore, because there's no love from the father, real true love, the mother can't submit because it's hard for her. In the flesh, the kids see this and they can't obey their parents. It's true, isn't it? It happened in my life. I didn't read it in a book. I saw it with my dad. Thank God that I was able to baptize him in his days before he crossed over. I'm glad for all that. But there was a reality before that. So it's important that we understand. Look at what Second Corinthians 1:21-22. Now he which what? He establishes, right? Us with you in who? So we are established in Christ and hath what? Anointed us. Is who? Is God. Who hath also, verse 22, what? Sealed us. He's put the stamp of approval. Have you ever had to do like a little document? You know, a little legal document, whether it's a notary or whether it's something that's going through the court. And, you know, you get a lawyer, witnesses, and everybody does everything, does their little signature, and all that is good and dandy. But then it's got to go to the state if it's going to be recorded at the state level or at the county level for it to be recognized as an official. They have to seal it. When we're anointed, God seals us. That stamp of approval. You may not go home. You may go home and say, well, where is it? You can't see it in the flesh. But I'm going to tell you what. The devil can see it. That seal is the name that's above every name in our lives. It's the name of Jesus sealed on our soul and our lives through the Holy Spirit when we are anointed. He who hath sealed us and given us, given the what? Earnest of what? The Spirit in our hearts. But this can never happen. This does not only automatically happen when we believe. This happens when we obviously do have to believe, but then we have to progress. And just if you would put that image back up from the beginning of the flow. This is God's kingdom. The Bible says, in this manner, pray, Heavenly Father, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. It's God's kingdom, church. He has placed an apostolic office to govern the body, the church, within it ministries that are made up of families and eventually individuals. Don't you want more than just that, I believe? Where God's taken us in this year, we're going to need that double anointing, that double portion. But we're going to be confronted. We're going to come to that crossing at the edge where those that God have placed above us, they've taken their mantle off. Maybe God's not taking them to heaven yet, but God's moving them on to go and affect someone else or to do something else for his kingdom. And now there's a point of transition. We're going to have to tell God what we want in his kingdom. And that we're willing to stay downstream. That no matter how much he uses us, we're still downstream. If he elevates us, we're still downstream. If he takes us all the way up to the office of the apostle, I'm still downstream. Because it all flows from God. We just read it. It says, now he which establisheth us with you in Christ and hath anointed us is God, who hath also sealed us and given the earnest of the Spirit in our hearts. Let us stand. I would ask that we do this, that we would pray for one another. And that we would pray, God, allow me to stay downstream of your authority. There's something that also caught me with Brother Wright. And he mentioned, he says, all I want to do is be in a neutral plane. Is that what he said? It was something along those words. I think we were there as a group. He says, I want to be that conduit. And he says, you know, I want to speak as I hear from God. But we need to get in that place of neutral line where it's not my ability, it's not my charisma. Because if it is, then men are going to be attracted to you due to your charisma or your ability. And that's okay. I'm not knocking that. But my charisma, and I really don't have any, is not going to save anybody. And if they're depending on my charisma to be saved, they are in trouble. So it's important that we understand that we become neutral and just let God flow.